All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe, you say amen. Please open your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 4. Chapter 3, sorry. The book of Acts chapter 3. There was something I began to discuss last time when I talked about the matter of consecration, the prayer of consecration. And I want to explain something to us again. This is very important. Please, I want you to listen to it very attentively. Let me just read from verse Acts chapter 3 from verse 17. But the story actually began before then when Peter and John went out and when they were going to the temple to go and pray around 3 p.m. And then there was a certain man who was lame from his mother's womb that was there begging at the gate called Beautiful. And you know the story of how Peter said, right now, nothing dear our hands, but there is something we have constantly, which is the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And in that name, he commanded the man to rise up and walk. And having given the man a lift by his right hand, the man rose up and strength was returned or was put in his legs, his limbs for the first time. Now, because of that, this man was with Peter and John, and then they began to kind of, everybody was watching them. So Peter now said in verse 12, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? And why look so intently at us as so by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk?" Then he went ahead and talked about the servant of God, Jesus Christ, whom they killed, that's the Prince of Life in verse 15. And he said in verse 16, he said, "And in his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance," talking about the fact that they crucified Jesus Christ and they rejected him, "as did also your rulers. But those things," verse 18, "which God foretold by the mouth of his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." That's where I'm going, actually, verse 19 specifically. He said, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." All right, the Lord is good. I just realized something. You know, because I was the first person to step up today, normally somebody prays before I come up. We didn't say any word of prayer. So I think it's just appropriate to reverse and do it. That's how I was just smiling as I was reading that last portion. Can I just bow down? Yes, I haven't read that portion of the scriptures. Father God, we thank you because of the gathering of your people. We thank you because of the anointing of your Holy Spirit that is present upon me and upon the hearts of the listeners this evening. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will ignite our hearts to understand truth in the name of Jesus, and that I will speak your word alone and draw your people, Lord, towards your throne of grace so that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help at this time in Jesus' name. Lord, your power will manifest in our lives. Your power will be radiating through us to touch other people like Peter and John touched this man in this context of the scriptures that we have read in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Okay, so let's continue reading. Okay, let me just go over that, what we said. So here, you saw that this man was healed, but that's not the story I'm bringing up from here. Actually, where I'm bringing out, just I like to read in context, is verse 19. When Peter was talking about what you need to do so that you may experience the times of refreshing, what I want to talk about again is that word, times of refreshing, as a continuation of what I began to speak last time, that's the issue of the matter of consecration. He said, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." And he said, "so that times of refreshing," if you have a King James, you may not get that clearly. But look at another scripture. It says, "so that," that is as a consequence of your repentance and conversion and your sins being blotted out, you will experience times of refreshing coming forth from the presence of the Lord. What I want to say again, which is what I've been teaching here and there and trying to explain to people, which we are going to carry onto the airwaves all over Africa next year, is what I want to say here again. I've been saying it again and again. There is something about the life of the believer, all right? Please. We don't do things the way everybody else does them. Let me say this to us again. God has a pattern for doing things. so as to redeem this earth, he planted in his plan what the Bible calls the sons of God. And he said it's the manifestation of the sons of God that will lead to redemption on the earth. I hope you understand that. Okay, now, the redemption, the manifestation of the sons of God is not possible until the sons of God are converted in their hearts to becoming the image of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is when they have become, because when he made the earth, when he was going to put the man inside, you know what he did? He said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Without man being in the image of God and in his likeness, he cannot have dominion. Did you hear what I said? How many of you have seen this book, 48 Laws of Power? All right. You've seen it. How many of you have read it? I've seen it. I've heard so much about it. I read it for the first time. Not really read the book. I was in a place today and we were doing a lot of stuff. So in one of the offices we were using, the book was on the table. So I picked it and was reading through it while I was getting bored with what we were doing at a particular point in time. So I used it to keep myself busy. And it's very interesting to read. Believe me, it's very interesting to read. But please don't try and learn anything from it. You're going to get very stupid and God will reject you if you try to learn anything from it. Now, do you understand? What I mean is this. Now, if I read the words of Satan, I learn something. What I mean is that, there was a day I stumbled on the website of the Church of Satan. And I read, trust me, I know go wrong. I sat down there and read their homepage, read their mission statement and everything. And I went to browse somewhere and somebody had used the computer before me. So the drop-down menu there, it was listed, Church of Satan. I said, what? So I clicked on it. And of course, took me to their website. And I saw the Messiah of the people right there and all of that. So I read everything he said, and I learned something about their mission on the earth, and it was very good. I mean, it just tallied with what the Bible said about them. So I learned that. What I'm trying to say is that beyond that kind of learning, all right, don't try and read books like that. If you want to go and learn how to wage power over people, do you follow my point? By reading 48 Laws of Power, I read the number of the laws, all right? I realized something. It was anybody who deliberately tries to obey those things, all right? It's a corrupt person. Only corrupt people will try that, okay? You want to deliberately do things. You tell you how to deceive people so as to have power over them. You must be of your father, the devil, if that's what you want to do. Do you get what I'm going to explain, all right? There's a reason why I brought up that issue. So today when I was looking at the book, I saw that. I said, and it was a bestseller. I mean, people are learning how to wage to have power over other people by reading 48 Laws of Power. One day I heard somebody say about a preacher, like a big pastor, was talking to his younger pastors, and he said that you must never tell anybody I'm sorry. I said, how can an on earth can a man say that you must never show your subordinates your weak side? You must never tell anybody you are sorry. I was fuming when I heard that thing. One of my friends stopped. He said, don't worry. He read 48 Laws of Power. That's his problem. That's one of the laws of power in 48 Laws of Power. Now, do you follow what I'm going to explain? I'm just going to get an issue here. So you see that people actually strive for dominion on earth. That's why that book became a bestseller. People want to have power. That's why the book is a bestseller. All right? People want to have power. But that's not the order. Trying to go through that way is what the Bible calls eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All right? And the way by which you get a result is what determines what you get out of it. He said, enter by the narrow gate. He said, because broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many are those. Now, listen to that. He said, many are those who are entering through the wide gate. And then you will find destruction for your souls. That's what he said. But if you enter through the narrow gate, you see, enter into the same thing, into dominion, into whatever. But then you will find life. So if you enter through the narrow gate, you find life. If you enter into dominion through the broad gate, you find what? Destruction for your soul. That is, those who try to enter into dominion through the 48 laws of power, they are the one that are going to be dominated at the end. I remember the story I read from ahead in his music, Witch's Invitation by Carman. Carman said when he and the witch had the encounter, by the time they finished, the man was telling him all the things that he was able to do through his abilities to control demonic power. I cured this man using druid worship. I was paid to cause this man. They said, through my knowledge of Babylonian powers, I made this man rich. On and on, the man was just bragging. But there was something that came and said, okay, at the end of the day, what's going to happen? The same demons that saved you will carry you to hell. That's what he told the man. Right now, you are bragging about your ability to control demonic power. He said, but listen, the day you will die, these same demons, they will gently escort you and chain you down in hell. What I'm saying is that you go through 48 laws of power to get power. What will happen is that those same powers will carry you and destroy you. That's the way it works. Okay? Now, why am I going to all of that? This was what God did. He said, so that they will have dominion. Let us make them, however, in what? In my image. That is, don't let them teach them the laws of power. What do we do? We make them in our image, and they take on our likeness. There's a difference between the two. Talking about the likeness of God, all right? It's talking about the character of God. Do you get my point? Talking about not just outward form, but the character of God. The Bible describes Jesus Christ in the book of Hebrews chapter 1. He said he's the exact representation of his nature. You get what I'm saying? And then he opposes all things by the word of his power. That is, dominion comes into your life when you exactly represent God for people. That's what it is. He said, let them have dominion. How would they get it? When we have made them in our image and after what? Our likeness. That is very important. Dominion over diseases, dominion over poverty, dominion over the affairs of this earth, dominion over failure, dominion over the powers of the devil comes from one thing. Having the image of God. That's why Jesus, you see, Jesus was so blessed in his person. He was such an exact representation of the Father that he told those who were with him. I told that certain things are implicit in certain statements. When Jesus said that, none of these things shall hurt you. You shall step upon serpents and scorpions. He wasn't saying that to those who will read that version of the scriptures. No, he wasn't saying that to those who will read a portion of the scriptures. He was saying that to those who were walking with him. Are you getting my point? Who his influence was already touching. So he said, none of these things will hurt you. What am I saying? Dominion was because they had been with Christ Jesus and his personality was infused into them. I hope you're following what I'm going to explain. So how did God ordain for us to do things? He said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So this is what we do as believers. To experience anything in life, we don't go after that thing. We go after the image of God concerning that. We go after the image of God, the likeness of God. You understand? That's why Jesus said, seek first the dominion of God in your life and his righteousness. And all other things will be added to you. If you run after power, you become a slave to power. Do you understand my point? See, I need to understand that. If you run after power, you become a slave to power. He said, Issachar is like a strong donkey. You get my point? He said, lying down between the sheepfolds. He said, when he saw that the grass was green and the place was pleasant, the Bible said he bent his back to bear the burden and became a slave at forced labor because he was going for prosperity. What did he become? A slave. That's the way it is. He that loves his life is the one that will lose it. No, I told you some time ago, I reasoned. I said, dear Lord, how come you inspired your prophets and your apostles to say that a man that desires wealth will pass himself through many hurtful lusts? He will be pierced by many sorrows. Yet, when you want to talk about Abraham, Abraham became rich. Jotham became mighty. Are you getting my point? You Jabez, you heard this prayer. Then the understanding that the Holy Spirit dropped in my heart is that it's one of two things. You either go after wealth, all right, and then you go through many sorrows, or you go after God, and then he blesses you with wealth. Then the scripture suddenly made sense. The blessings of God, they make rich and don't add any sorrow. So a man that goes after God's blessings is the one that becomes rich. The blessing of God is different from riches. But when you have the blessing of God, it can make people rich. Are you getting what I'm explaining? So, when God wanted to do the things of the earth, he said, in my plan, I have sons of God, but to produce the sons of God. Because without that image of God, they can never have dominion. So, because of sin, all right, what he now gave them was the Lord Jesus Christ, who became the firstborn out of the dead, who became an author of eternal salvation for everyone who will believe in him. Therefore, that's why we are called Christians. Are you getting my point? That is why we are not calling any other thing but what? Christians. Because that is the method by which you become what God wants us to be. That's why you will hear that the Bible said that Jesus will hand every other thing, will hand everything back to the Father at the end. That is, his existence on this earth was a means to an end. God, he wasn't created so that he would just be one big star who will worship for eternity. No, he was created so as to bring many sons to glory. I hope you are following what I'm trying to explain. That's what Christianity is. That's why we are Christians. That's why when we want to talk, we talk about, you know, I was watching on TV the other day, all right? They had a debate about whether the Catholic Church was an influence for good. Now, this was a secular debate. It happened, I think, somewhere in London. I don't know the very state, but it was the very place where it held, but it was being aired on BBC, all right? BBC World. And it was interesting. They had the two white guys who are obviously atheists. One of them is a homosexual. And they were campaigning so vehemently against what the Catholic Church is doing about the doctrine of the Catholic Church. All right? On the other side, there was a Nigerian archbishop of, what's his name? Onayekan. What's his name? The Abuja, the archbishop. It was one sitting on, and one MP. All right, a white woman speaking on the side of the Catholic Church, and they debated for a long time. And as we're debating, I was feeling sorry for the Archbishop and the MP. No, I was feeling very sorry. You know, I wish they gave me the opportunity to. He should have just called me. I'll just support them for just 1 hour. Yes, because I wanted to explain something to people. Why are people talking? This is a church. It's supposed to be a church. It does not calculate its doctrines based on popularity. I mean, you don't make excuses. Tell them straight. I'm not here to be popular. I'm not here to be popular. Either I'm a church or I'm not a church. Yes, either I'm a church or I'm not a church. I didn't come here to be popular. I came to tell you the pillar of truth. Now, I'm just trying to explain something here. So you see, with God, this is how God does things. He's not here to be popular. The idea is that if you guys conform to my image, all these your struggles will disappear. Do you get what I'm trying to say? And that the reason why Jesus came was to conform us to the image of God. That's why, like I was saying, we're not here to debate. We're here to make discoveries of the image of God. When we see him, we'll be like him. So if the Holy Spirit opens our eyes and we look in the scriptures, we'll become like him. Are you getting my point? Once our eyes are open, we become like him. Please get the point. That's how it works. So that's what Christianity is. It's not about struggle. It's not about how do we do this. These are the methods for getting rich, methods for staying poor. That's not the issue. The issue is that if I understand dominion. Oh God, I wish you understand. One of the problems with life is that when people are learning doctrines, they don't hear the full thing. You know, it's difficult for them to balance covetousness and the purpose of God for wealth. All right? Which one is right? Which one is wrong? It's difficult for them to understand in practical days. Listen, what God is saying is simple. It's simple. Become my true image. And what you will experience is what? Dominion. You know, somebody was telling me about one big man in Nigeria, a minister of the gospel, describing something. He said, the man said, made a statement. He said, money answers to me. That is, me and money know the quarrel. I call it, it comes. It comes. I don't run after it. He knows who is master. He knows who is the boss. And I thought to myself, in fact, that was one of the things that inspired me concerning our plans for next year. If you hear our broadcast bill for next year, it's 4 million naira. Let me tell you ahead of time. Don't get scared. God will supply. And no, get my point. We've essentially paid for January already. So it's not. Look, when I heard his testimony, I said, this is dominion. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, it's not about methods, it's about the person, the relationship with somebody, and the transformation to the image of God. God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. When we have succeeded in doing that, then they will have what? Dominion. I hope you're following what I'm saying. What am I talking about today? This man was saying something here, Peter. He said, this is how it works. There's what they call times of refreshing. How does it come? He said, repent and be converted, that your, let me put it like this, your shortcomings may be blotted out, your iniquities, your sins. That is the part of you where you are not exactly like what God wants you to be. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what Christianity is, believe me. It's to wake up in the morning, get your spiritual mirror out. Did you hear what I said? You wake up in the morning and do what? Bring out your spiritual mirror. And say, look at this head. Is this the shape of the head of God? If it is not, get a spiritual hammer and hammer that corner that's sticking out. Put it back in shape. I hope you understand what I'm saying. You look at your eyes. Is it looking in the direction that the eyes of God are looking? If they are not looking in that direction, then you are learning properly. And what do I mean by spiritual mirror? Every day, you know, you are sitting down, a word is coming forth, you hear something that is not exactly where your heart is, where God said your life should be. Then you know that's an area where you are not conformed to the image of God. I told you why Christians walk. We don't walk because of poverty. We don't walk because of lack. We walk for two reasons. Number one, so that would be a blessing to people. There's a skill that God has placed in you. You have to go out there and use it to bless somebody else. And number two, some of the ways by which God shows you the mirror of life. look at yourself. Is this how you're supposed to be? You've been grumbling like everybody else, and then this civil service says, very useless. God said, that's not how Christians talk. That's not how the image of God talks. You wouldn't have known you were going to talk like that. They said they put in a position where you started yakking away like everybody else, just opening your mouth and talking nonsense. Then you come. That's where my message is for today. When you have discovered that, you now come back in prayer. Listen, the most potent, you know, I've been saying it again and again and again. Prayer is and is the most, in fact, is the main weapon that God gave the believer. The problem why he has not been working is because we have been praying religious prayer, not true prayer. You get my point? Yes, it's not night prayer. It's prayer time. It's fasting time. We just do things because the season thereof. We don't know the purpose of it. Most of the prayers I hear around are wrongly directed. They are directed against problems that don't exist. What do I mean? Enemies. You know what I mean by enemies? Witches. Holy Ghost fire. Something I don't know where we invented. In fact, you know, I'm beginning to wonder, where did we invent that Holy Ghost fire thing from? It has now become a common thing in Christianity. All the problems of my life, Holy Ghost fire. Listen, look, I'm not aware, all right, that that's what God invented it for. And like I say all the time, the blood of Jesus does not work anywhere else apart from on you. It does not work on your enemies. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It doesn't work on your enemies. It does not work on the road. You can't cover a road with the blood of Jesus. Because if you did, where would the car pass to? Some of those things, when we are saying, God will just say, Michael, what did they say? They said the blood of Jesus. Said, you leave them alone. You know, they want protection. Protect them, don't worry. Forget about the blood they are shouting. What do I mean? Where does it work? It works on your heart. The Bible says that he sprinkles, all right, for the cleansing away of dead works. That's what he does. Do you follow what I'm saying? God takes it, it's on you. It doesn't work on other people. The blood of Jesus works on you. Once it has cleansed you, times of refreshing, that's what we're talking about, automatically come forth, all right, from the presence of the Lord. That's what I'm going to explain. So I began to explain the last time that, look, for the believer, therefore, all right, if you see Jesus Christ, how many of you can say, dear Father, please help me against all this poverty and hunger? No. He didn't use to pray prayers like that. Pray for other people, pray for situations in their lives. But when it came to, the only time we heard him pray for himself. That's where my message is. What did he pray? It was a prayer of consecration. That was it. Like, is there any way that we can do this thing apart from this? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He said, will I pray? You know, there are prayers God said, Jesus said, you shouldn't pray. Even though you have the mouth to pray it, it's not right to pray them. He said, should I say, Father, deliver me from this hour? He said, if I say that, that would be wrong. Do you get my point? You know, that's what he said. He said, go and read John chapter 12. He said, should I say, Father, deliver me from this hour? He said, how bad, guys? But for this cause, I came to this hour. I mean, leave that outside. That was when Peter began to fight. He said, Peter, relax. If it is the ability to pray, you were there when I called, what's his name? Lazarus, to comfort. And he was already there before he knew I was calling him. That is, the power in my words. Look, the power was so much, it raised Lazarus up down to the door of the tomb before I told them to lose him and let him go. How did he get there? You were there. He said, so do you think if I wanted the Father to deliver me, I would not have asked him for a legion of angels? He said, but forget. This is the reason why we came to this hour. That is his prayer, you know. You know, you heard me say this one before, that once, when the Passion of the Christ came out, I bought the film, and we're watching in my house one day. And Joy was watching, he came to our house that day, she was watching. And, oh God, as we were beating Jesus Christ, you know, it's very painful. My son watched it like 1 week ago. Is I crying? That is, I'm sure the Lord will love that boy, because the boy cries for him. It's really painful. My son began to cry. I slept off here and his mother were watching it. Next thing I knew, I heard my wife say, come, baby, come. So he got up to go and cry on his mother's lap for the weeping of Jesus Christ. I said, Mel Gibson, you said you are wicked. You imagine. What am I saying? So that day I was telling Joy, I said, this is not painful. Just like, what? Sir, what did you say? I said, Joy, this one is not painful. I said, you see all this beating, they're beating him. He didn't feel it. Like, how can you? I said, you want to know where pain is? Let me tell you. Reverse into the garden of Gethsemane. See, this one, they are bleeding him. They are beating him so that he might bleed. That one, he bled without anybody touching him. The agony. I said, that was where pain was. This one, this lash outside there. You know, the guy not feel him again. The real pain, the real agony was when nobody touched you and you are bleeding. You know, if I slap you like this and your face sweat, they will understand. But you're just sitting down there contemplating the issues of life. Your head doubles in size. somebody could look like, what's going on here? He said, what happened? He said, your face is swollen. He said, I was imagining the issues around. Now your body begins well. Now that's the real agony. Do you get what I'm saying? But that was where he prayed his prayer. That's what I'm going to. That was where he prayed the prayer. It's not struggle. Christianity is not about struggling. It's about knowing how to pray. Are you getting what I'm saying? I told you that most of the prayers we pray don't have meaning. Oh, thou God that dwellest in light up unapproachable, whose heaven is a footstool and the earth is somewhere you speak all kinds of grammar. Yet when real issues are down, you don't know the proper words to use. Or too much academic study in which words to use to pray. And you think, but you know, Jesus said that they think they will be heard by the multitude of their words. I think these days, we think we'll be heard by the depth of our grammar. I like the way Gordon said it in his music. He said, I know blow grammar like Chris Okotie. He said, but in my little way, he heard my voice. And I have no choice but to rejoice. Are you getting my point? That is, this is the main thing that Christians do, all right? You know, we don't struggle outside. Our primary assignment, you remember we talked about how to work for God. The first issue there is that work inside. That's what we're talking about. It's not the work outside. The first work God expects you and I to do, all right, is the work of constantly removing the idols in our hearts. And what I'm bringing out today, because our school of prayer, is to explain how we do that with prayer. It is not by struggling. It is by, you know, there's one scripture that's one of my favorite these days. It said, only acknowledge your iniquity. That's what Jeremiah said. I'm not saying try and change. I'm not saying try and make restitution. I said, just acknowledge your iniquity. Listen, if you go to God in prayer, you kneel down and say, God, this thing I am doing is wrong. That's all he said. He said, take words with you and say, God, I have sinned. That's all. I hope you're getting my point. When you do that, all right, that's what he's talking about here. He was speaking to those who are not believers, but I want to apply it to the life of believers. He said, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. You know, there was something that John said. John said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Do you get my point? All right, he said, but if we acknowledge our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Unrighteousness. Now, what does he mean by that? You know, those days when we're young believers on campus learning the word of faith, they say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This was one scripture people did not know how to interpret. It conflicted with every other thing that we professed. So people say that he's talking about broken fellowship. When you have broken fellowship with God, no, that's not what he's talking about. Because he talked about the fact that if we acknowledge our sins, you know, he said we walk in fellowship as what he said, if we walk in the light, see in the light, he said the blood of Jesus constantly, if you really amplify it, is constantly purging us of all iniquity. He wasn't talking about broken fellowship. What he was saying, in effect, the problem is that people don't know the meaning of the word sin. What is sin? I stole, I cheated, I didn't know. That's what they call sin. That's not sin. Sin is the difference between where God wants me to be and where I am right now. That's what sin is. If God says, don't talk too loud, and I'm talking too loud, that is the volume of my voice, all right, compared to the volume that God wants it to be, that excessive volume is called sin. I hope you are getting what I'm explaining. If God says, I have appointed only 7 hours of sleep for you a day, every 30 extra minutes I sleep beyond 7 hours is called sin. Every job I am doing that God says, only the fear of tomorrow that's making me do it is called sin. Places that I go because I'm begging for the favor of men is called sin. Every fear of people that I have that's preventing me from doing that which I know is right is called sin. Do you get my point? every association that I have with people, because, you know, they are my old friends now from my place. I can't leave them now. When I'm supposed to be walking towards righteousness, and I know they are walking towards ungodliness, it's causing. When Jehoshaphat went out for war in the company of Ahab, what did the prophet say? He said, look at you. You have joined yourself with men that you know hate the Lord. That's why you almost died in battle. So every time I visit Ahab, to go to battle in company of Ahab, and my name is Jehoshaphat, though my heart is supposed to be perfect towards God, every visit is cursing. Do you understand my point? Why we used to have that problem interpreting those? Because we thought sin was only these moral issues. No. Sin is the gap between where I am right now and where God wants me to be in every aspect of life. You know, I was in a men's meeting on Sunday evening. And as my pastor was preaching, there were things he said. I was very happy I attended that program. And I told somebody sitting beside me, I said, when it comes to discipline, do you get my point? I think I may not be 100%, but I score very highly when it comes to disciplining my children. All right? I teach them the fear of daddy. That's only when they know the fear of the Lord. Did you get me? They know they can't see God. It's my fear that's the fear of God that they know. I'm telling you the truth. God said, how can you say you love man that you can, God, you cannot see? When the man you can see, you don't show him any love. You can't fear God. When you know the father you can see, you don't fear him. But there were same things that were said. I just realized that in my quest for discipline, I've forgotten some other sides of a father's relationship with his children. And it was creeping in gradually as children were growing up and becoming more stubborn. Do you get my point? We tend to wield the rod more than any other thing. And as I listened to that message that day, I said, I'm bringing an issue here. Then and then I said, oh, these are parts of life. I told myself that one day, I have three boys. I will carry them, drive to one grassy place, carry football, and let us play football. These are things that I don't remember them many. Do you get my point? Saturday, your kingdom world ministry. Sunday, you go to church. Monday, you go back to work. Tuesday, you come back to come and teach people who don't get tired of hearing you teach. You follow what I'm saying? I'm going to have an issue here. You may think you're good as a husband, as a father, as a preacher. Even when it comes to my work in kingdom world ministries, there are things like today I came early. And because I came early, God was able to rearrange my brain because there was nobody around, nobody to discuss with. If I took a week, got to the door, he left and went to call me. I'm inside. I've been here alone for a while. Being alone for a while, I was able to make certain decisions concerning programming, seminars, and stuff like that while I was preparing for what I'm going to teach this evening. Do you get my point? That is, although I've known that one for some weeks, that there's something I'm not doing correctly. And except I take time out to let God and I discuss these matters, I will continue doing some things wrongly. I'm looking forward to the break in December. So by the time I come next year, I have things properly arranged. That is, everything I'm doing wrongly today, that's not exactly the way God wants it to be, is causing. It's not immoral. It doesn't mean God is angry. Those people I told I watch on TV, we're talking about the Catholic Church and all of that. One of them, somebody said that the Catholic Church gave us the Ten Commandments, at least secularized it, popularized all over the world. And the man said, what does he have to say? He said, what kind of Ten Commandments is that? That the person who gave the Ten Commandments, the first three commandments were so selfish about him. You know? It's God is talking about. If God was at this guy's face now, they say he's wicked. I'm looking at him. Because God said, thou shalt have no other God before me. Is that the first three commandments of God are very selfish? I said, this guy is a real fool. The foolish man says in his heart, there is no God. Now, what I felt like telling him is this. You see, you're a very foolish man. You think God is like you, the godless man, who does things only for his own gain. You don't realize that when a father says, don't talk to any stranger, it's not because he doesn't want his child not to have friends apart from him. It's for the child's safety that he's discussing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Sin is not that God is angry. Sin is the thing that does not allow you become what you are supposed to be. It removes dominion from your body. Listen, if the image of God brings forth dominion, you know what sin does? It removes dominion. It removes dominion. That's why, let me give you a few examples. Let's take a family life. God has helped me with that, understand over the years. The reason why a father and a mother, especially the father, is supposed to walk in integrity, all right, It's not because if you go outside there, you know, you never can tell. These small, small girls, they will steal your money. No, for me, I understood it long ago. It's not about the small, small girls outside. It's about the children that I'm having. I lose authority over them once I begin to walk in iniquity. They won't know why they are stubborn and they can't obey God. Because I brought the spirit of rebellion into their family. I don't have time to go through the scriptures. You see, God told them. He said, you see, your daughters are harlots and your sons go after harlots. He said, I won't punish them. Why? It's the fathers that brought the spirit into the home. Are you following what I'm saying? Sin is not like I'm angry, I go flog all of you are dead today. No. Sin is I created you for dominion. You are losing the ability to dominate. Sin is like we discussed then. Look, I have an entrance for you into your own eternal kingdom. Like Peter was saying, sin blinds you. You know what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? He said, the God of this world has blinded the eyes of the unbelieving, that he will not be able to see the gospel of the glory of Christ. If you can't perceive the news that God has for you, you won't know the direction into prosperity and into dominion. What happens? Sin blinds. It blinds. It blinds. That's why God said, oh, that you will have hearkened unto me. That is, if only you will have listened to me. He said, then your well-being will have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. That is, for your own well-being sake. It's why I said you should listen to me. So when that man was saying that the first three commandments of God are selfish, I said, you don't know that the Bible says that God is love. It didn't say God loves people. He said God is love, is love. God is what? Love. That is his very, the fiber of his being. He's always thinking good towards people. So when I say, we should, he said, when I say, everybody praise me, he's not, I'm not going to eat your praise. All this one, I say, praise is food of God. I don't, well, maybe it's like you say, anthropopathism. God said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. But he said, well, let the people praise you. He said, then the earth will bring forth its increase. So as you raise your voices in praise to God, what are you doing? You are causing the earth to bring forth its increase. So when God said, thou shalt have no other God before me, he says, it's for your own good. Now you understand what sin is? Let me get back to what I was saying. So sin is not about, these moral issues of life. No. Sin is everything that I am not, that God expects me to be. Do you get my point? So what do I do? When they're talking about repentance, because this is what God does, he opens your eyes. I said it to us before, a few Sundays ago, that except God opens your eyes, you can't confess. Except you confess, you cannot be changed. Except you are changed, you cannot enter into dominion. It's not possible. You know, I was talking about this guy, that our funny carpenter fellow. I discussed with somebody the other day. He said, that man is cursed. I said, yes, indeed he's cursed. But the curse in his life, you know how it's playing out? It makes him cheat people. It is not as if he takes money out of his pocket. But anytime you guys have a business dealing, he wants to cheat you. For that reason, he closes doors to himself every day. So much that he left his tools in my house and he doesn't have the liberty to come and ask for his tools back. Let me tell you how important tools are. God said, if a man owes you money, you are not allowed to hold his tools as ransom. You know, I struggled with that thing for a few days. Because when that guy first took away my money, I said, let him come and collect these tools. And the scripture kept talking to, coming to my mind. Banky, if a man owes you money, you are not allowed to hold his tools at ransom. I said, Papa God, but he left the tools here. I didn't go to collect it. But you know, the rest, I didn't have to struggle to obey that scripture yourself. He didn't come back. You see what sin is doing? Sin. Alright, is preventing prosperity. He said to a young man, God didn't say, stop cheating people. He said, no, don't stop. God said, don't choke. No, come. Just come and tell me, Lord, I acknowledge that cheating is wrong and that this is my tendency to cheat is a bad thing. Help me. God said, fine. From now on, when I cleanse you of all, first, I forgive you of your cheating. Then I cleanse you of that tendency. Because the so-called cause that's working in your life cannot work if I drop the love. Oh God, you know what Paul said? He said, the love of God does not, is shed abroad in our hearts. He said, what does that mean? He said, hope does not make ashamed. Hope does not disappoint. Why? If love is in our hearts, every expectation we have will be fulfilled. So the young man, instead of struggling for money, God said, I just pour my love into your heart if you approach and say, I have sinned. And what I have done is wrong. Are you getting what I'm explaining? Listen, believers are not permitted to struggle. They are permitted to only every day wake up, reconsecrating their hearts to God every day.